one day at a time. Amen. All right, Acts chapter 6 is where we're going to be tonight. We're going to look at verse 2. I want to say thank you to those of you that have been able to come out tonight, and also to those of you that are watching online. We appreciate you, and we couldn't do what we had to do if nobody was here with us, so we thank God for y'all. All right, Acts chapter 6, verse 2, you have your place there, please say amen.
Amen.
Sounds good. Bible says, "Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them, and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve table." What in the world are they talking about? Well, we're going to find out here in just a second. Let's pray. Father, tonight we thank you for your precious and holy word. Lord, we thank you for the Q&A that we already had, where we studied about the wood that could have been used to make your cross. But Lord, we don't know what it was, but Lord, you do, and one day we'll find out. But Lord, till then, we are part of a New Testament, Bible-believing, preaching, teaching, reaching church. And Lord, Father, we thank you for Danieltown. Lord, we thank you for those that make up this church. And Lord, Father, we just pray that you'll send more here, Lord, that they might learn more and more about Jesus. And so, Father, we pray for the VBS coming up. And Lord, tonight we just pray that you'll just speak to our hearts as only you can. Lord, we've been getting kind of low, and so, Lord, we come back by the old house of God, Lord, to fill our tank with more of that powerful word of our Lord Jesus Christ. Teach us, and Lord, just speak to our hearts. Lord, move me and set me behind the old rugged cross. Touch these old lips of clay that they may preach forth and teach forth your truth and your word. For, Lord, we ask it in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Well, what's going on here in this message entitled "The Power of Proper Priorities"? What's going on is that the church, the early church at Jerusalem, is having problem because there is a daily ministration where the widows are being served, and there's problems that are coming up. So much so that the 12 are having to go out and help with all of the comings and goings and so forth. And what we notice here inside of verse 1, it says, "And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration." So what we have here by point number 1 is we have the unacceptable situation. See, the problem was that the widows were being neglected. You see, murmuring inside of a church is a byproduct of something that's more serious. The murmuring, however, was not the problem there. The murmuring was a ripple effect, if you will, of the problem that was there. You see, the squeaky wheel is not the problem. It is an indication of a problem. And so the problem is that the squeaky wheel needs grease. So there is no question that the widows are supposed to be taken care of. And so, in fact, that is the test of what the Bible calls true religion, or pure religion, rather. James chapter 1, verse 27, it says, "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world." So I want to expound a little bit upon what this daily ministration is. See, the church then and the church now need to see about the widows, but that's not all. That's a lot that must be done in order for the church to operate. You know, most church members and many churches around, they never give it a second thought. Now, it's more prominent and more pronounced for us because we're such a little church. But in a lot of bigger churches, they just don't think nothing about it. Many church members, they go to churches for years, and they don't ever do anything a lot of time. There's hundreds of tasks that need to be fulfilled. And not doing those tasks, to me, as a pastor, would be unacceptable. I mean, going to church in a dirty sanctuary, that shouldn't be done. Grass not getting cut, building not being maintained. You know, that's just something that we just shouldn't let slide by, honestly. And so the list of situations, just like at your house, my house, and especially the church house, it's never ending. There's always something that needs to be done. So that is the unacceptable situation. And then we have in verse number 2, the unreasonable service. As we read there, then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. So according to verse 2, it was the general consensus within the church that it was the apostles' place to meet that need. So people were looking at them as if it was their job, their duty, their responsibility to take care of the widow. Now, there was a bona fide problem inside the church, like we said before. The widows were being neglected. But two wrong don't make a right, ever. There is such a thing as creating more problem by incorrectly addressing the problem at hand. So what we find is that many pastors' first instinct is to address the murmuring problem and make the murmuring stop. That's one approach. But their first solution is to personally attend to the need of those widows. Their first reaction was to just go serve the tables and make the murmuring stop. But the approach should be, however, to fix the problem. Waiting tables, serving the tables, was what? It was a Band-Aid. It was a temporary fix. It was a temporary relief. It was not the whole reason of the issue at hand. So if we notice the apostles' conclusion, they said what? They said, it is not reason. So that's something that they brought forth. Let's give you an illustration out of Exodus chapter 17. In verse 10 it says, so Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek, and Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hand, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. All right, so you've got two scenes here. You've got Moses up on the hill holding up his hand, and then you got him lowering his hand, and then Aaron and Hur come up and hold his hands up, and then they put Moses on a rock and let him sit there. And so as long as Moses' hands are held up, Joshua and the Israelites fighting the battle down below, they're going to win the day. But the issue here is that somebody fighting on the battlefield might look back up and say, look up there. They ain't doing nothing up there. They ought to come down here and fight with us. They ought to help us out. But see, that's two whole different planes of serving and of doing. See, Moses' job was preeminent. That the people on the battlefield, they didn't realize it. Moses was fighting a different kind of battle. He was waging spiritual warfare. His job was different from their job down on the battlefield. And so in our text, what do we find? We find that there are two different kinds of ministry. In verse 1, we find there is the daily ministration, the service to the widow. But then look in verse 4. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So the second type of ministry was the ministry of the word. And you know what, God? We need that. I need to be fed the word of God. Y'all need to be fed that word of God. And so to be honest, you know, I've been unreasonable more times than I care to admit in my own life. I've chosen the unreasonable service. I've chosen to go out and serve and do these things. I've neglected prayer. I've neglected the word myself. So my problem is a lot of times I enjoy the daily ministration. I enjoy serving others and helping others. I enjoy doing so many of those things. But you see, I like to get my hands dirty, and I love to be the Joshua swinging his sword, you know, doing those kind of things. I enjoy sometimes a menial task here and there. But as pastor, I have to make a choice every day of my life. Am I going to do the daily ministration, or am I going to do the ministry of the word? The ministry of the word is what I've been called to do. That's what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to put myself in that. So for me to leave the word of God and then, as they would say here, to serve table, it would not be reason in our mind. But there also comes a time when, you know, right now as our church, we're going through financial difficulty. And so I've been trying to do what I can in my own area, in my own life, to sell what things I can to be a gap stop situation so I can still minister inside of the Word and devote myself to that. But if I have to go back and be bivocational, do what I can, then I have to keep myself accountable to God to keep as much as in the Word that I can also. But I've seen it too many times in my life where my mom and daddy taught me when I go and I do a job, I'm supposed to do my best that I do. Because I also know that I have a testimony, I have a reputation to uphold, and I want to do my best, not just to do right for the job, but also know that no matter what I do, in my mind, I'm serving the Lord. So if I'm serving the Lord as pastor, if I'm serving the Lord as a husband, if I'm serving the Lord as a son, if I'm serving the Lord, you know, waiting tables, do whatever I'm doing, stocking shelves, I need to do as the Bible says, do all as unto the Lord. That's what we're supposed to do. And when I do that, other things can be neglected. And I don't like that. I don't want that to happen. But a lot of pastors, they cannot but help to do bivocational ministry at times. So these men of God, they needed to be inside the Word of God so they could feed the flock of God, and like all pastors do. So power is time spent with God in the Word and in prayer, not just in my life, but in your life as well. Don't find yourself too busy where you don't get time in the Word of God. You need that every single day. So serving God is what we're supposed to do, all of us. And serving tables might make us personable, might make us approachable as a person, no matter what we're doing, but it doesn't make us powerful. What makes us powerful is when we get inside the Word of God, and we get it inside of our heart and our mind. All right, so now next we see the unanimous solution. There's got to be a solution to the problem. Just going out and serving tables, that's not going to solve the problem. That's going to stop the murmuring. So remember, what we're looking at is the power of proper priority. And so in verse 3, he says, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." And then we notice verse 5. "And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, and proselyte of Antioch." So their solution was to delegate the work to qualified men so they would go out and take care of the widows, and that would free up the pastor to be able to minister inside of the Word. And Acts chapter 6, verse 5 tells us that, "And the saying pleased the whole multitude." Now you stop and think about this. I love this verse because this church at this moment in the book of Acts, believe it or not, it's got 10,000 members. When was the last time you got 10 people together and they all got on the same page, let alone 10,000 people assembled at the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem, and then hearing this from the apostles, it pleased the whole multitude. That's what you call being in harmony. That's what you call being filled with the Holy Ghost right there, if you ask me. They were in complete agreement that the man of God needed to be doing his job and they need to be doing their job by serving table. So the solution was brilliant for a number of reasons. One, the widows were protected. Two, the workers were productive. And then three, the Word was preeminent. Ain't that a blessing? So what was it? It was a win-win-win situation. That's what it was. And then we noticed out of this, putting priority in the proper place, we find that number four, the unprecedented success. Look at verses 7 and 8. It says, "And the Word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people." So here's what happened. Because of the biblical and reasonable solution, everybody won. So when we put priority in its proper place in our lives, and we put God's Word first in our lives, then we find that God's going to reward us because we put priorities in the right slot. So what happened? The church then experienced a new level of growth and impact in their community, just like we're praying that God's going to let us do here at Danieltown. The widows were no longer murmuring. The church members were not sitting at home and doing nothing. The pastor was not forsaking the word in prayer. And so there was only one possible outcome that was practicing that, and it was unprecedented success. That's what it was. We have, number one, the success of the Scriptures. It says the Word of God increased. So the Word of God increased because the preachers were studying, they were digging, they were meditating, they were preparing, the messages got deeper, the truth got more powerful, the teaching was more solid. You know, many preachers today, they have nothing but shallow messages because why? They don't spend enough time in the Word of God. I have to be careful myself, even in what all I'm doing, to not to get wrapped up in so much that I'm doing that I neglect the Word of God like I should. You know, the Bible itself is like a gold mine, but you have to dig to get it out. And that's when it gets good. That's when it gets exciting. You have to work to get it at all. I mean, imagine Danieltown Baptist Church when the Word of God gets the increase. Oh, my. Jesus told us if he be lifted up, he will draw all men unto him. That's what we got to do in our lives and in the life of our churches. Make sure we lift up the word, not just the written word, but the living word as well. Jesus himself. And we will see what will happen. Imagine the quality of messages when the preacher can study without stopping to have to go do petty tasks. Imagine the power of the preaching if the pastor can study and pray and wait tables left. But then notice something else that happened. Not only do you have the success of the Scripture, but you also have the success of the soul winning as well. What happened? It says the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. You see, the number of disciples multiplied because the church was operating like God intended. You see, people get saved when the preacher prays and studies. People get saved when church members get involved in the daily ministration. Imagine if the pastor could study on Saturday and the church went soul winning. That's something. Imagine if the church brought visitors so the preacher could preach to them. I've seen that happen. I've seen all of you in here bring people in. And you know what? It causes people to get excited because, hey, there's a new face in the crowd. Hey, there's somebody that's come out to visit. I get excited, y'all get excited, we all get excited. So invite somebody. Now don't get down in the dump if somebody makes an excuse and says, well, I can't come, or maybe they can't come. But keep praying for them. Keep asking them. I mean, it never hurts. And then notice something else, the success of the servants as well. Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders. You see, The apostles had this desire back in verse 4 to give ourselves continually. I prayed that a long time ago. I prayed, Lord, I would love nothing better than just to be able to read and study your word and just to help the flock grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But notice the Apostle Paul's attitude as a leader and even as a preacher. He said over in 2 Corinthians 12:15, he said, and I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. You see, they can't give themselves continually to the word and prayer and the daily ministration at the same time, as much as we would like to. Just because you have a pastor that would be gladly spend and be spent doesn't mean you have to let them. We've all seen that through various years. But we pastors, we need to be able to give themselves to prayer and to the word. So regardless of what I have to do, I'm going to make sure that I do it. But you know what? So should we together work together with the pastor, working together to do what? To put proper priority in its right slot. Above all, beloved, make sure you put Jesus at your top first priority every day. Make sure you pray inside of your life. Make sure you open your Bible and read your Bible every day. And make sure you come to church. You know, if you have to work, that's understandable. But when you don't, when you're able to, when you're healthy, Come on out to the house of God. I'm preaching to the choir here. But that's the thing. We want to make sure priority is in the right place. The church needs every member to get plugged in to do what? To help carry the burden of this ministry. It's not all Preacher Craig. It's all of us together working in the power and in the unction of the Holy Ghost of God. And if we do that, folks, we will see the power of proper priorities, and it will be evident not just to us, but it will be evident in this community as well. Because people suddenly start realizing, hey, something's happening up there at Danieltown, and I think I want to go be a part of it. So let's get excited. You know, I'm excited about VBS. I can't wait to see what God's going to do. And so as we go forward from there, who knows what's going to happen? I know what will happen. If we put God first and His priorities in the right place, God will bless it. He will bless it every single time. So David, if you'll come, sir. So tonight I want to thank you for putting God in His proper priority. You know, you didn't have to come to church tonight. You chose to come tonight. You made a decision that you were going to put God first, regardless of how you felt. You see, that's a part of our problem nowadays. Too many people, they only do as they feel. Our ancestors didn't do that many times. They had their duty. They knew what they had to do. And even if they felt horrible, they still went and did what they were supposed to do. That's what we're supposed to do. I mean, look at Jesus, right? When we looked inside of Q&A, we saw what happened. Jesus fell down and He dropped the cross. Did He stop because He felt terrible? No. Simon the Cyrenian was pulled out. He helped him carry the cross, and they went on up to Golgotha's hill. And there Jesus was crucified for our sin. Let's let that be our role model tonight and put our proper priority in its proper place. If you have things in your life that you know ain't right before the Lord, then you need to take that and stop making it a priority and throw it out. You say, well, I can't do that. Well, God will give you strength if you ask Him. Why? Because what? With God, all things are possible. And then put God as a priority in your life and watch what happens. Your life will never be the same. So tonight, as we close this service out, as David is about to play an invitational hymn, search your heart and make sure that everything's right betwixt you and God as we bow our heads and close our eyes.